Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to do something a little different just to show honor and to give honor where honor is due. You're not standing up for me. I'm a pastor and there's a degree of honor for the office that I hold. And I do not apologize for reverend in front of my name. If we don't revere God-appointed leadership. Amen? If you've got a problem with God-appointed leadership and revering them, you've got a problem with God's leadership in your life. Because he gave to the church apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. He set them in the church. This is not a democracy anymore when you come into the kingdom. It's a theocracy. Can you say amen? God separated unto himself who he chose. It wasn't up to the people to make the choices. And that's why when God made the choice to use Moses, who married an Ethiopian woman, and Aaron and Moses' sister got real upset about that because God chose him to be the leader. And they said, we got other prophets we can listen to. We don't have to follow God's appointed leadership. We don't have to follow Moses. And immediately they were stricken with leprosy. Now, I'm not saying if you disagree with me on any point, God's going to get you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God appoints leadership. People don't elect their leaders. They do in the organized church, but I'm talking about God's kingdom. I'm not talking about the organization. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. There's a vast difference in what man has organized and called church and the kingdom of God. His kingdom is spiritual. You can't join his church. You have to be baptized into it by the Holy Spirit. You can't get in because you bring a letter from another church. You can't show your baptism certificate and get in it. You can't pay to get in it. And you don't have to pay to stay in it, thank God. He paid it all at the cross. God is so good. I don't know why I said that. God knows why. Praise God. Amen. Believe in the Lord, so shalt thou be established. Believe his prophets, so shall thou prosper. Can you say amen? Starts with God, but it doesn't stop with God. Everybody say it starts with God. But it doesn't stop with God. Hallelujah. So we want to bring you a message from God's word. And you're standing, as I said before, to honor God's word and take it to heart. Hallelujah. I want to read again because of time constraints. Instead of trying to get through another whole subject, I want to just take the pause. How many were here last week? When we stopped, I was not through. Neither was God. Neither was the subject exhausted. In fact, we're just going to do... Anybody remember when you hit the pause button, what happens? Everything just stops. If you're watching a movie or listening to a tape, what happens when you take the pause button off? Starts right back up again. Well, we're going to just take the pause button off, review just a little, and go further on this great subject today. Destined to win... God's promises to the overcomer. I want to read from 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Listen to it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How many in this room believe that Jesus is the Son of God? You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. We need to celebrate our separateness as Christians. If you are an overcoming Christian today, it is because you have believed something that is so critical, crucial, and vital to your faith. That the moment you believe it, you are an overcomer. I didn't say you're overcoming. I said you're qualified to overcome. I know many Christians that are not overcoming. But I don't know any Christians that are true Christians that are not highly qualified in order to overcome. Very quiet in here. I know a whole lot of people. And it has nothing to do with how long they've been in church or hadn't been in church. It has nothing to do with whether they prophesy or whether they speak in tongues or whether they have or have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I know people that have all of that, that are not overcoming. We see people in Christian leadership fail. It's not because they are not qualified to overcome. There are people that can't seem to overcome depression. They get in a deep hole. They can't seem to get out of that hole. I got a letter from Pennsylvania, and it was from someone attended our church for about 5 years, and the lady herself got into deep depression, and I ministered to her many times. And every single time I ministered to her, I told her how much God loved her, how deeply in love He was, and how she didn't have to earn that love, that it was hers in Christ. The day she got saved, amen, He was able to express that love to her, but He loved her before she ever got saved. The Bible said that God commendeth His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And greater love than this hath no man, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. We were the enemies of God, but we were loved of God. And God wanted to befriend us and reconcile us to Himself. And she never got it. She was highly qualified to overcome. But she got into depression, and she stayed in that depression. And nothing from the Bible and nothing seemed to break that depression. And I got a call from her mother from Pennsylvania. She said, "You remember my daughter so-and-so?" I said, "Yes, I do. I prayed with her, talked with her, counseled with her many times." She said, "Well, she got into deep, deep depression. We moved to Pennsylvania. She got into deep, deep depression. And she hung herself." And she said, "Pastor Venable," she had a bunch of your tapes. Back then, we were making the cassette tapes. And you say, "Well, how can a Christian do that?" I'm telling you today, this is an important message. Amen. Being a Christian means you have the qualification to overcome. You have been enabled. Whether you overcome or not, you have the power to overcome. Because you have believed something that gives you that power and privilege and place before the Lord. You have believed that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The moment that revelation is given to you and you embrace it and you come to Christ as your Savior, the moment that happens, something supernatural and spiritual is occurring. Amen? Remember when Jesus asked Peter, said, "Peter, who do men say that I am?" He said, "Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist." People are saying everything. They're speculating about who Jesus was because of the power that they saw in him. And Jesus looked at Peter, and he didn't look. It's amazing. He picked out the disciple who was the least intellectually, you know, or even he was not part of the Sanhedrin. There was a doctor, there was a lawyer. He didn't ask the doctor, the lawyer. He asked a plain, simple, everyday fisherman. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Boy, don't ever go to the History Channel to get your answer. They don't know God from Adam's house cat, and yet they try to explain him in search of the historic Jesus. I'm so glad I have found the Christ of history. Can you say amen? I'm not searching for him. Don't go to them. And some of them, not all of them, are just, you know, these people trying to make up stuff. Oh man, Jesus' wives and all of that. It gets crazy out there when man without the Holy Spirit tries to discern God and the things of God. Amen? So you don't go there to get it. Well, where do you go to get it? Well, you go to church to get it. Well, church isn't enough to give it to you. I can teach and preach and we can have a Bible study. But listen to what Jesus said. "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, where in the world did he get that and speak it with such authority? He's not part of the Sanhedrin. He doesn't have, he has an Orthodox Jewish background, but he's not like Paul. Paul was a Jew of the Jews, circumcised the eighth day according to the law, concerning the law, blameless. And yet Peter just blurts out this great truth. And he said something to him. He said, yes, and flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. This is a spiritual revelation. This is something that comes direct and distinctly from God and God alone. And when you have that revelation, it can't be shaken. You cannot know a lot of things. There's a lot of things I don't know, believe it or not. There's an ad in the paper, actual ad in the New York Times, and it said encyclopedia set for sale. Perfect condition. Not needed anymore. Wife knows everything. That's an actual ad. Don't know why that happened. She's laughing. Amen. He's not laughing. He's a wise man, a very wise man. Some jokes you just don't laugh at if you got to go home with the lady. My wife is right there. But anyway, God is good today. I don't know everything. There's a lot of things I don't know. But if you ever know something, in particular by the revelation of God, you can never unknow it. You cannot act on it, but you can never not know it. If you've ever been saved and you find yourself in a bar in Ybor City on Saturday night, you know something that they don't know. You know you're out of your element. You know that ain't no place for a saved person. You know God isn't pleased with that. You know that it's sin. You know it's wrong. It's different when you know something. And when you know something, they can come knock on your door with a false doctrine. You may not have a degree in theology. Amen. You may not know a whole lot about the entire book, the Bible. But as Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed. Amen. Against that day. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he prayed for Christians in his generation all the way down to our generation, a prayer of intercession. And he said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you might know by what? By revelation. The hope of his calling. Hallelujah. What it means to be called and chosen and faithful. What it means to be called of God to salvation and called of God to follow Jesus and called out of darkness into this marvelous light. Hallelujah. That you might know where it's all going to end up. The hope of his calling. And you might know of his riches, his inheritance in us. His inheritance. We talk most of the time about our inheritance in Christ. God wants you to know that we are his inheritance. We're his reward for all that suffering on the cross. That bride, this body of believers that are going to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. When Jesus looks out at that long table. Hallelujah. Full of born again believers. That have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It will offset the agony. It'll offset the pain. It'll offset all that he went through on the cross when he sees all the souls that have been snatched from Satan's kingdom and brought into God's kingdom eternally and safe home forever and forever. Can you say amen? Now, I've been a pastor of this church. I was a pastor before I was pastor of this church as it has been, as it is, for going on 41 years. January will mark 41 years. I know that there's a lot of church people, church-going people, that are not overcomers. And yet, the Bible said when you have that revelation, it begins with that. And that's why when Paul talked about the riches of his inheritance in the saints and his power, that you might know his power. And this is not just know intellectually, Brother Taylor. This is know experientially, that you might know his power. Come on, everybody say experientially. You can't know power intellectually. You have to experience it. Praise God. That's why Peter said this gospel did not come in word only. That's just for the intellect. But it came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. And because it came that way, it came with much assurance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When it's supernaturally communicated, it's different than when you just sit in a Bible study and listen to the word and go home and depend on your own intelligence and your own mental consent to it. Didn't it say that in the Bible? Yeah. But if you're not experiencing it, it don't matter what it says in the Bible. It has to become a personal experience. When you get saved, you need more than just go to church and go to the altar. You need to meet Jesus. It doesn't start with an experience. It starts with faith. But when you turn loose your faith in God, you can experience His presence. You can experience His person. You can experience His power. And that we might know the power to usward who believe, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That's some kind of power. Everybody say that. Now that's power. When death is defeated, that's power. It's one thing to shout all over the house and go running around the property a few times. Can you say amen? It's another thing to have the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. And if you got that kind of power, amen? Do we have that kind of power? Do we have it? Is the Holy Ghost come to give us power? What do you receive? A liver shiver on Sunday morning when the Holy Ghost comes? Number one, you receive power, but not just power in terms of strength, but the power to know what you could never know except by the Spirit. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. It's a spiritual revelation. And upon this rock. Now the Catholic Church built their church on Peter as the rock. He said, and thou art Peter. Which means Petrus is the Greek word. Thou art Peter. You're a little stone. Don't build the church of Jesus Christ on a little stone. Amen. But upon this rock, Petra, everybody say Granite Mountain, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? The devil will not overcome God's people that keep their trust in Christ. Hallelujah! There is victory in Jesus. There is victory in Jesus. I know that we carry our emotions. We wear them like clothing. We get up in the morning and we put on that spirit of heaviness instead of the garment of praise. I would like to ask you to do something different sometime. Whatever's got you down, to just defer from that for a little while. And look past what's bugging you, bothering you, and beating you down. And look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Consider Him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. If I think about me and my pain, me and my pressure, me and my problems, I go down into that pit. But when I think of Jesus and His love, Jesus and His faithfulness, Jesus and His sacrifice, it stimulates praise in me. And it lifts me up. Hallelujah. Because I know that the Lord promised to never leave me and never forsake me, but to go with me every step of my life. And I'd rather have Jesus, Brother Taylor, than silver or gold. I'd rather have Him than have riches untold. amen, just to know I'm led by his nail-scarred hand, hallelujah, than to be in sin's dread sway today. There's victory in Jesus Christ. Number one, you got to quit seeing yourself as a victim. A victim of this circumstance, the victim of that person's unfaithfulness, a victim of that person. I told you when I hit the floor, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance somebody that I thought I had worked through full forgiveness with, but I was holding it somewhere deep inside of me. It wasn't complete. And he told me how to pray, and I'm so glad, because I needed some help from God. If you want help from God, you got to get right with God. You got to get real with God. You got to get honest with God. You can't hold stuff and justify it. When you come to the altar, you do not come to bargain with God. You come to agree to unconditional surrender. And the day that you surrender, amen, your pride, because that's one thing that'll keep you from forgiving. Your pride, the one thing that'll keep you from laying that down and getting past your past. You keep holding on to it. I've had people that blame their past as a Christian for all of their failures, all of their sinfulness, all of their attitudes that were wrong before God. And every time they were confronted, they talked about something that happened to them in their past. Honey, when you become a Christian, your past, as far as God is concerned, is gone. Can you say amen? That's what baptism in water is representing. What happened to that old man? He's been so identified with Jesus. He's identified with his death. He's identified with his resurrection. Amen. We are laid down in the water to see. Well, there went my radio broadcast or my webcast. I'll try to watch my mic. Hallelujah. You go down into the water, but you don't stay down. It represents being dead to the past, dead to self, dead to sin. And you're raised to walk in the newness of life. Forgetting, forgetting. Everybody say forgetting. The things that are behind. Everybody say the past. You can't go forward looking back. Can you say amen? Somebody said, I wish I could make some progress in the Lord here. Well, quit it. Stop it. You'll get a crick in your neck and you'll lose the victory. Need an Egyptian doctor. A chiropractor. Can you say amen? Cairo, Egypt, you'll get it after a while. This is a sharp audience. You got it right away. Hallelujah. Amen. Forgetting. How can I forget? The same way God does it. God's forgiveness is different than ours. My wife mentioned it this morning. I mentioned it. God must want it mentioned. Hallelujah. You get down in the floor and you can't move, and all the strength is gone, and you know that without, and I wasn't afraid of dying. You know what really scared me, Brother Taylor? That I would be like the people that I have visited younger than me in a nursing home. Debilitated for the rest of your life, laying with bed sores waiting on death. Oh, take me home. I told my wife in the emergency room, I said, honey, I said, honey, I don't want to be a burden to you. It's, in other words, if I go home, it's okay. If it's God's time, if it's God's will, I've got the peace. Hallelujah. And she got the peace. And we had the peace. And God took control and God decided. Not me. God decided. I told you my first prayer wasn't for help. It was to forgive, to open the way for God's will to be done in my life. Can you say amen? But you listen to me carefully. You can go to a faith seminar and they'll teach you how to build your faith. But it's not just a matter of how much faith you have. The implication is if your faith is strong enough, you can have anything you say. Anything. Just say it. And God has obligated himself to honor your faith and do it. My Bible said, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petition that we've desired of him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say according to his will. And peace comes, not when you get your way, but when you surrender to his will. If you're praying for something that's not in his will, you'll never have peace. Because you'll be so frustrated because you're not getting it. I heard a song. It's a beautiful little ditty of a Christian song. There's no depth to it like so many little ditties that are out there today. And it said, no, no, he'll never say no. What? What? Oh, that was a little ditty song. You ever heard it, Brother Taylor? No. Boy, we're all just saying, yes, yes, that's what I want to hear. Hallelujah. Tell me some more. Can you say, man, tell me that anything I want, I can get. I build my faith and get anything that I want. You know, some people got what they want and didn't want what they got. Israel, nothing would do them but to have a king. They told God, we want a king. They said, you're doing fine. I'm taking care of you. We want to be like everybody else. They got a king. We want a king. God said, okay, I'll give you a king. But it wasn't the king they wanted, was it? Amen. They went into captivity and they were under a hard king. As long as God was their king and God appointed leaders were their king, they prospered and they did well. Listen to me carefully. Little boy is spoiled, rotten. There's a maid and a nanny raising him in this very rich person's home that spoiled him rotten. And there was a bumblebee. This is before air conditioning. They had the windows open in this big, fine home. And there was a breeze flowing through. And a big bumblebee from outside flew in. And he's flying around the house. And that little boy's chasing him. The boy's chasing him, grabbing at him, grabbing at him, grabbing at him, grabbing at him. And the nanny said to him, Johnny, let that bee alone. And Johnny is not used to anybody telling him no. Because Johnny always gets what he wants. And Johnny runs right around her and runs after that bee. And you know something? She's seen him get his way and go unpunished and be spoiled until she just stood back and folded her arm. And he got it. He really got it. Can you say, man? She grabbed the bee stung him, he cried, and a big old welt come up on him, but he learned a little lesson that day. Amen. Sometimes when you get what you want, you don't want what you get. So maybe it would be good to let God take care of some things in our life and quit telling him what to do and come in a place of surrender. Amen. This victory that he gives us is based on us surrendering to him. Amen. It's not based on us telling him what to do. It's based on us listening to what he has to say. And in that place of surrender, there is peace. There's peace that comes. This tension between my will and his will, that tension is gone. There's a peace. You know, I know all the faith steps I'm supposed to take, bind the devil, believe God, confess the word. That's not what I was doing. I was trusting God, and the peace was there. I didn't feel any need to bind the devil because the devil wasn't in control of my destiny. Can you say amen? Amen. I didn't have to bind the devil. There's cases where we do, but that wasn't the case. God was in control. I could have went to heaven. It would have been okay. You say, well, Pamela, what about Pamela? She'll be okay. God's big enough. He's bigger than me. You don't think God could do it without you? Are you that vital, that important, that strong, that mighty, that all-fulfilling? Get over it. And she would cry and scream and holler at the funeral. See, I told you. She wouldn't question God. Because she would know if we prayed and put it in God's hands that God is in control. And if God called me home, there's no defeat in that. That day will come. There will be no defeat in it. I see people that people live way up in the years. They go, I don't know why God took my mama. Well, God took your mama because if she belonged to him, because she belongs to him and it was time to go. It's going to take you one day too. Got news for you. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die. It's going to happen. But if you're his, it's okay. In China, they get it. In Asia, they get it. You go to a home that's celebrating. And you wonder, what's the celebration? Somebody's birthday? They said, no. Grandma Chang just went home. Now, they're bad grandmas that maybe they celebrate for the wrong reason, but they were celebrating for the right reason. We had a funeral for an aged saint of God that went home full of years. Grandma Johnson, when I went to visit her at her home, she had a big old pit bull. What was his name, Pamela? You don't remember? All I remember was his face. I'll never forget his big old head. I went to the screen door. It wasn't latched. Somebody had just been to visit her. She was in the bed, not able to get out of the bed, except when the therapist came for a little while. And I went to visit her. And I knocked on the screen door, and a big old pit bull met me. And he come growling, snarling, and showing his teeth. And she said, oh, Brother Venable, don't come in. And I thought, you ain't got to tell me don't come in. Can you say, man? I figured that out all by myself, Brother Taylor. He was big as chocolate, but he was mean. That dog was protective over that lady. But Grandma Johnson was full of faith. And when she called the dog over to the bed, he went over by her bed. She had a leash on the bedpost, and I really didn't trust it. But she hooked the dog up to that leash. I came in and went on the other side of the bed. Amen. Yeah, way on the other side of the bed. And I began to talk with her. And I came there to pray that God would raise her up. But before I could even pray that for God's healing, she began to tell me where she was and what was happening in her heart. She was 84 years old. She had some physical problems, and she was peaceful, Brother Taylor. She was happy in Jesus Christ. She had the peace of God all over her, and she would always say, yes, Brother Venable, yes, Brother Venable. And she said, yes, Brother Venable, said one of these days, she said, Jesus is going to come right here to my bed, and he's going to reach out his hand, and he's going to say, it's time to go home. And she said, yes, Brother Venable, I'm going to take him by the hand and I'm going home. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I thought, okay, that's victory. There's no defeat in that. Amen. That's victory. And then she said, Brother Venable, didn't I hear you preach one time? Yes, I know, I remember. She said that you had a daughter in between your two sons, you and your wife. Her name is Lisa Marie Venable. And she was premature, and she lived 4 days. And this is before we were Christian. We didn't even know how to intercede or anything else. And she died. Beautiful child. Beautiful. Fully formed. Beautiful long black hair. And on the fourth day, because intestines had grown together inside, we didn't know it. The doctor didn't know it. And when she began to take something in, then that just, it took her just like that. So she went painlessly, quickly on the fourth day. And she said, don't you have a daughter named Lisa Marie? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. Because, see, everything is shifting now from here to heaven. In her heart, amen, everything is shifting from here to heaven. Praise God, and heaven is sweet, and heaven is glorious. And when the body fails, heaven is where we should be focused on. And before the body fails, heaven is where we should be focused on. Can you say, man, we're not going to live here forever until Jesus comes back with us, but heaven is the eternal home of the redeemed. And heaven is coming down here, by the way, according to the book of Revelation. It's not staying up there. It's coming right down here, a new heaven, a new earth, because the holy city's coming down to this planet. Praise God. And God's going to have to make some room for it all. Hallelujah. And he will dry up the sea. God is so wonderful, powerful. And she said, Brother Venable, heaven was so real to her. She said, tell me your daughter's name. I don't want to forget it. I said, Lisa Marie. Think of Elvis's daughter named Lisa Marie. She said, when I get to heaven, after I see Jesus, yes, Brother Venable, after I see Jesus, I'm going to find your daughter. And I'm going to tell her that your daddy is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to tell her all about you. And tell her that you're looking forward to seeing her again. Amen. All grown up in heaven. I said, oh, hallelujah. Praise God. It wasn't but about 6 weeks after that, I'm called to a nursing home where she had been taken from the emergency room to a nursing home. Waiting on Jesus. I went in with her daughter and her granddaughter. I got out of my car and I said, oh, Lord, we need people like Grandma Johnson. We need people with faith in you, a faith that is unshaken and unbroken. We got so many vacillating people that come and go and they're up and they're down and they're hot and they're cold and they're on and they're off. And you never know what to expect from them. But every time I see Grandma Johnson, I know exactly what to expect. Yes, Brother Venable. Hallelujah. Praise God. Talk about the word being yea and amen. It was yes and amen. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm going to take her home today. Don't pray for her to be raised up. So I went in and she was asleep, deep in what they would say a semi-coma, I guess. They didn't believe she could, that she was just drifting away. And I went and took her by the hand. I said, Grandma Johnson, this is Pastor Venable. Do you know who I am? I said, squeeze twice for no and once for yes. She gave me a hard yes. I said, Grandma Johnson, is Jesus coming today to take you home? She gave me a big yes. And just to check out that we had the formula down, I said, do you want to stay here any longer? She gave me two strong no's. Hallelujah. Praise God. And just a few seconds after that, she took a breath. Whew. She was with the Lord. The Holy Ghost fell in that room. Her daughter started speaking in other tongues. Her granddaughter started speaking in other tongues. And of course, your preacher followed suit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit was so strong in that room, you could almost feel the touch of angel wings just brushing us. Hallelujah. While they ushered her into the presence of God. Hallelujah. And the nurse looked in the door and heard the noise and said, what's wrong? And we looked at her with a smile and said, she's home. She's home. She's home. Hallelujah. And when we had that funeral, there was such grace and such love and such consolation and such confidence. The funeral director told me, amen, and her daughter said this was more like a celebration than a funeral. Praise God. Hallelujah. It was impressive because there was no sorrow. Hallelujah. There was victory in Jesus Christ. I tell you, we need those people that demonstrate to the rest of us there is victory. I don't want victory just for my sake. I want it for your sake. Can you say, man, I want to let you know there's victory in Jesus. You don't have to be defeated. The devil doesn't have the last word. God wants you to get a revelation so you know when you walk out of here. It's not just because the preacher said or my pastor said. It's because that you've seen it for yourself. Anybody ever seen anything in the Word and it jumped out and grabbed a hold of you? You can't unknow that. If it comes by the Spirit, you can't unknow it. You can deny it. You can mask it. You can try to cover it up, but you can't unknow it. Can you say, man? And that's why Paul's prayer was, Lord, grant unto us the Spirit. Grant unto them the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Listen, before all of this power to usward, the hope of our calling, the riches of His inheritance in the saint, comes the knowledge of Him. It starts out with the knowledge of Him. It's all about knowing Christ as he truly is. Can you say amen? They that do know their God, what happens with that knowledge? They will be strong and they will do exploits. The book of Acts, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. This is not just the Acts of the apostles. It's the Acts of God through them. And where did that authority and that faith and that boldness come from? It said when they saw Peter and John, two of those apostles, when they heard them speak with such authority, they knew they had been with Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We got preachers coming out of seminaries, that know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know Jesus very well. They don't speak with God's authority. When I make a radio broadcast, I say, Lord, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Let me speak what you want me to say. I'm going to read the scripture, but let it come with the power of God, with the anointing of God, so it touches the heart and not just the head. And let me speak as an oracle of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you don't get it down in your heart, it will be in your head. And if it's stuck in your head, it can be right as rain, but it won't help you. And it won't hinder the enemy from hurting you. But when it gets in your heart, and you know whom you have believed, it brings a persuasion to your heart and your mind that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. And friend, if I can commit my soul's destiny to him on that day, I can commit my life now to him on this day. Come on, you got a lot more faith than you believe you have. How many believe you're going to heaven? Then you believe he's able to keep what you've committed unto him against that day. You're not afraid of the judgment to come. You're not afraid to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You may be ashamed, but you're not afraid. There may be things you wish you'd have done different and better, but you're not afraid. Hallelujah! Why? Because the day you got saved, he wrote your name in a book. And it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the Bible said the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made us free from that law of sin and death that kept us in bondage. Glory to God. There's victory in Jesus. I hate to see the old saints go, because there's so many young Christians that have believed the same thing, that have had the same revelation, but don't have the same realization. Amen? Amen? There's a lot of people quote scripture in here. There's people quote scripture better than me. Met a man in the hospital after praying for Dad Reedy. I've told you about it. I went over to his. He looked all, hope he don't come over here. Hope he don't come over here. Hope he don't come over here. Well, I went over there. Because both these guys were prepped. I didn't try to push anything on him. I just asked him a little. I said, I just thought I'd like to, would you like me to pray with you? First I asked him, I said, what is your problem? He told me. I said, are you scheduled for surgery? He said, yes. I said, may I ask you a personal question? He said, yes. Because he was afraid. He'd heard me pray for Dad Reedy. God raised up Dad Reedy, and he was in our church for years before he went to be with the Lord. And I told him, I said, sir, in the event, because they're going to have you sign a release, the anesthesiologist is going to come in here. They're going to cut on you. And when the anesthesiologist comes in, he's going to have you sign something. Because he wants to be very clear. Then when you go under that deep for that long, there's a possibility you might not wake up here. But you are going to wake up, sir, somewhere. Are you sure that you're ready to stand before the Lord if you don't wake up here? I said, I'm going to pray for a successful surgery, but I have to ask you this question. They're going to ask you. He said, I have had the Navigator's course at our church. It's a course in Bible memory system. He said, I can quote St. John's Gospel, every chapter and verse, from chapter 1 to the end. And I thought, man, you're doing better than me. I need the Holy Ghost to help me, prompt me. I can't do that. I thought he must have a photographic memory. He knows the word by heart. I said, sir, that's not what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you about your church affiliation, whether you've been baptized in water, or whether you can quote the scriptures and know what they say here. I'm asking you, if you don't wake up, do you know you're going to heaven? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And he got dead serious, and he said, no, I can't say that I do. And I said, sir, would you like to know Jesus as your Savior? And he said, yes, sir. And he bowed his head reverently, and we prayed the sinner's prayer. That can be prayed 1,000 different ways, but it always brings the same result. It's the repenting of sin and receiving Christ, amen, as our Savior. And he did that on that bed, and the peace of God came over him, and the fear left him. Praise God. Dad Reedy told me the same thing. The first time I visited him in the hospital, amen, I said, Dad, your wife comes to our church. I guess you know that. He said, yeah, but I go to another church. I said, that's fine. I said, now, here's the question I have for you, Dad. I said, Dad, if you don't come through this, they've called your son. The Red Cross is allowing him to come from the military here to Tampa. They're sending him. The doctor has persuaded them to send him home because this is that serious. I said, if you do not come through this surgical procedure, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And he said, no, I don't. And we prayed the sinner's prayer, and Dad Reedy accepted Jesus as his Savior. Amen. 3 years later, I visited him. He got up out of bed. He went home. He got out there with another brother and dug a hole to put our new mailbox in the hot sun in front of the church. Amen. He adopted me as his spiritual son. Hallelujah. He hugged me like a daddy, and I hugged him like a spiritual son. Praise God. And I visited him in the hospital about 3 days before he went home. And I said, Dad, how you doing? He said, I'm fine. He said, I'm going to heaven soon, but I'm fine. Hallelujah. I said, well, then that's good. Glory be to God. See, there's victory in Jesus. I don't know what you think of yourself, but God says the day that you receive Christ as your Savior, he accepts you into his royal family, translates you out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And it's a kingdom of light. And the Bible said right now, right here, right now, if you're a Christian, you are a chosen generation. We did not choose him. He chose us and invited us and called us and wooed us and drew us. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, he has made us a kingdom of priests, a generation of kings and priests. He's given us authority in those areas that he has allowed us to have it. He's given us a priesthood to us. Every Christian is given the ministry of reconciliation. You don't have to have a priest in a robe to lead somebody to Christ because you are a spiritual priest in that respect. How many know you can lead somebody to Christ on the job yourself? If God's drawing them, you can pray the sinner's prayer with them. Praise God. You can intercede for others. It's a priestly anointing, a priestly ministry. A royal priesthood. I'm here not just a bunch of old sinners struggling to get by and not go back. I'm here among a chosen people. And I'm here among a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests and kings before God. You have power with God when you pray. You have power with God when you intercede. You have power with God when you speak to others about him. He backs you up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You are a peculiar people. Watched one Laurel and Hardy movie with my daddy. And Oliver Hardy, the big guy, he's going to invite his friend for supper. His wife don't care for his friend, Stan Laurel. She said, I don't want you bringing any of your crazy friends around here. He said, but honey, Stan's different. She said, I'll say he's different. Can you say amen? You're different. You're different. I'm different. We are different. We need to celebrate our separateness. To the world, we are foolish. We're fanatical. We're Jesus freaks. Hadn't heard that in a long time, but it's still around. We're politically incorrect. Wave at me if you've ever heard this. We're sexually repressed. We're intolerant, narrow-minded, and just plain stupid for believing on Christ. The world calls us silly. God calls us saints. Somebody say amen. Come on, crack a smile. It's okay. The world calls us weird. God calls us sanctified. The world calls us intellectually challenged. God calls us saved. The world doesn't want us around. And God says, good, they're not of the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They are mine. They belong to me. They're my sons and my daughters. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, celebrate your separateness. This is true. This could be on the History Channel and be correct because there's no theology in it except something that we can get from it. But archaeologists digging in the remains of a school for imperial pages in Rome found a picture dating from the 3rd century. Shows a boy standing, his hand raised, worshiping a figure on a cross. The figure that looks like a man with the head of a donkey. Scrawled in the writing of a young person are the words, Alexamenus worships his god. Nearby, in a second inscription, it said, Alamanus is faithful. They were making fun of him, but he was faithful to Christ. They're saying you're stupid for worshiping your God, your God on the cross, your weak God. And he's saying, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. They that were with Christ in the book of Revelation, they were not only called and chosen, they were faithful. And in this fidelity, in this commitment, in this devotion is where the victory really comes. Amen. This is available to you, but you have to stand for it to be manifest to you. Can you say, man, you can't play footsies with the devil all week long and expect victory on Sunday? Can you say, man? Can you say, man? You can't live a compromised life and expect God's peace to rule in you. Can you say, man? This peace comes when you come and fully surrender to the Lord and start taking up your cross and following Him. There's victory in Jesus. I'm looking at Christians today that are not overcoming your worries. Let's quit talking about the compromisers in here. Let's talk about the committed that are not committed enough to trust Him with what's bugging you until it's beating you down. Until there's no joy. You're looking at the world and the shape it's in and you're seeing God as small and the world is overwhelming and the devil is the big shot. You don't even believe that God could send a revival to America. You don't believe He's big enough to handle it. You believe the only thing that can happen is get us out of here because there's no hope. We're here because we're salt. We're here because we're light. We're here because we're a kingdom of priests. We're here because God answers prayer. Can you say amen? Everything I see on TV is heart-rending and heartbreaking. But I have a holy spirit of expectation when you see these things begin to come to pass. When you see, oh, so many scriptures are just could happen at any moment. When you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, there's not a nation that borders Israel that doesn't hate them and want their destruction right now. And when you see them actually all standing at their perimeters, including Russia. Can you say, man, know that the desolation is nigh at hand? Can you say, man, we're living in the last of the last days? And everybody just cast yourself down. Oh, Lord, I wish I'd born in another generation. Honey, we're in the kingdom for a time such as this. Glory be to God. We have the message of hope. Praise God. The world is not going to self-destruct. Satan is not going to annihilate the church, because the church that he builds, amen, is founded on the rock. And the rock is not Peter. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God himself. And the gates of hell will not stand against that church. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Can you say amen? Thank you for the muffled amen. It's true whether you amen it or not. God is a prayer answering God. We are highly qualified to intercede. Can you say amen? The kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, it says what we bind on earth. You say, brother, I can't bind anything. I'm the lowest of the least of the lowest. Yeah, and the devil knows. That's exactly how you think. That's called stinking thinking. That's stinking thinking. That's called stinking thinking. Say it with me. Stinking thinking. You think it's humility. You think it's humility. I'm the least of the lowest of the lowest. Remember when God's people spied out the promised land? What was the evil report brought back? The evil report was this. We saw giants in the land. We saw walled cities, walled to heaven. Number one, that's an exaggeration. They were big, but they were not that big. Come on, church. It wasn't that big. We saw, not only did we see that, we saw fierce armies. What they didn't know was that those fierce armies were scared to death. They would come over there because they'd heard of their deliverance from Egypt and the power of their God. People, they were scared. They were trembling that they would cross that river. Oh, my son, that I'm a Rosha Namakata. We need a God that's a little bigger than the box we put him in. Can you say amen? We need to get rid, Brother Taylor, of the false humility. Can you say amen? I am a child of the Most High God. There's no pride in that. There's truth in that. Amen. Hallelujah. What you bind on earth, delegated authority. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, in his will, for his purpose, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the keys to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This is what locks and unlocks. You can't have your way, but you can have his will. Thank you for the patty cake. It's okay. Patty cakes are better than what I usually get. Which is a look like, you're one of them. No, I'm not! We know who them is. Don't make me go there. It's another whole sermon. They think they're in control. They think they can just cause anything to happen. They can't go to the hospital and get one child delivered from cancer. Not one. Not one. Not one. Not one. With all their power and authority, all they can get is a big home and a better car. Can't cast out a demon. They live in a gated community. Talk about their faith. Can you say amen? So I'm not part of them. But I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not going to abdicate the delegated authority that God has given me. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In my name you shall cast out devils. In my name you will tread on serpents. Oh, I'm not a snake handler. I'm not one of them either. Don't hand me no snake. Don't hand me no snake. There are people still doing that where I'm from. Kentucky. Back in the hills, there are people still handling West Virginia, amen, to prove their faith. They read that. If I drink anything, they're drinking stuff. They're trying to prove their faith. And it's all about spiritual authority and supernatural victory. Everybody say spiritual authority. It's not that serpent. It's not that water moccasin. It's not that rattlesnake. Praise God. It's that old serpent, the devil, that we have the authority over. Can you say amen? And we do have authority over him. Make no mistake about it. Now here's the difference. This false humility, failure to identify with who we are in Christ as an overcomer. We don't use our faith. We don't believe. We don't believe. We don't believe. I mean, you know, we had a conversation after a service, me and Buddy Smith. We had a conversation after a service and some things had happened, and you told me what the doctor said. Remember that? You told me what the doctor said, because what was implanted in your mind was what the doctor said. He said it, so I'm bound to that, because he's smarter than me. He is smarter than you. He's smarter than me too, but he's not smarter than God. Amen? Amen? And there comes a point you can't listen to God and this highly qualified person anymore. You got to believe God's report at some point. Hallelujah. I'm so glad when the doctor said I had leukemia and had 6 months to live that my dad took me to church. You know why? Because God healed me, delivered me, raised me up. Hallelujah. If he'd accepted the doctor's word as the final word and the last word and left God out of it, I wouldn't be here today. You say, well, God had a call on you. No, honey, God had a promise. God had a provision in his kingdom. It's not just because he had a call on me. It's because his son died on the cross and made provision for my healing. Yeah. Hallelujah. You don't have to celebrate my healing. I'll do it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to go home to your room, sit in the gloom and ponder doom, that's a choice. If you want to stand up on your feet, as the Bible said, quit ye like men and be strong. That's a choice. But know that wherever you are, it won't be God's choice. Because if God gets to make the choice, he's going to lift you out of the miry clay. He's going to put your feet on a rock. And he's going to put a song in your heart. And it's going to be a song of praise. It won't be the blues anymore. I like the blues, personally. Rhythm and blues is my forte. When I was growing up, Brother Taylor, I wasn't listening to all the pop 50 songs. I listened to rhythm and blues. Brother, I got to quit, but Brother, Brother Couch and Sister Couch are in Ohio. I always look at him because we listen to the same radio station. Can you imagine that? A white boy from Kentucky, a little black guy from wherever he's from. Amen? Amen? We listen to the same radio station at night. We know it. We listen to it so much, we know the call letters to this day. WLAC, Randy's Record Mart. WLAC from Nashville, Tennessee. I couldn't wait to get home, eat my supper, go to my room, shut the door, turn off the light, and turn on WLAC from Nashville, Tennessee. I didn't have the rhythm. Amen. The rhythm. I didn't have the rhythm. But in that dark room with the moonlight coming through, listening to Randy's Record Mart, I did some good dancing. How do you know, Brother Vim? I could see myself in the mirror. And I wasn't self-conscious because nobody was watching. And I was getting down. Even to the blues, I was dancing. Get me out on a dance floor, I freeze up. Look like Frankenstein's brother. Amen. I couldn't step all over my wife's feet anyway. God is good. She married me anyway. I listened to Muddy Waters, Lightning Slim Hopkins. Hallelujah. I mean, that's old school. I go way back. I liked rhythm and blues. And Brother Taylor, it came forth somewhere in the morning service. I think Brother Taylor brought it in the prayer. Blessed are the people who know what. Oh, not just the choir song and going through the routines. I'm talking about the real victory that causes us to sing unto God and shout and praise Him from the heart. Blessed are the people that know personally, experientially, what? The joyful sound. When God turned the captivity of Zion, when He brought them out of captivity, they said, we were as those that dream. We couldn't believe this was happening. We've lived in defeat. We've lived in fear. We've lived in servitude and slavery for so long. We forgot we were the covenant children of the Most High God. But when He brought us out, we thought it was a dream until we realized this is no dream. This is real. This is reality. And when we realized it, then everything changed. Our mouth was filled with song and our tongue with laughter. Our tongue with what? Laughter. Songs of praise. Squeals of delight. Palms of victory. Hallelujah. Crowns of glory we shall wear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The defeat, the depression, the fear, the bondage, the doubt, the unbelief that sweeps over us. God wants to break it. And He wants to clear our hearts and clear a path for His blessings to come through. Hallelujah. So that we might know the joyful sound. The joyful sound. The joyful sound. The joyful sound. What happens when a sinner gets saved? What happens? One, just one sinner comes to Christ. What goes on in heaven? What goes on? Did they give a holy nod? Oh, well, somebody got saved. No. Everything stops. All of heaven stops to celebrate. There's joy, not just among the angels, but the holy ones that are in the presence of the angels. I see that as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all the saints that have preceded us, the 24 elders. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. One sinner comes to Jesus, and there's joy in the presence of angels. One prodigal comes home. There's a celebration. Hallelujah. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. I'm going to close with John. Don't let me go there. Don't let me read there. Because we are closing. We are closing. John's Gospel chapter 15. It's the fruit chapter. I'm the vine and you're the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. That you might go forth and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit might remain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And He said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done to you. Because you'll be praying according to His will, because His word is abiding in you. Can you say amen? Amen? You see that? You'll ask what you will. Not because you have the authority to do what you want, but because you are beginning to understand His will. Because the Word is living in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then He said these words. I've spoken these things unto you, that my joy might be in you, so that your joy might be full. That will never occur until our prayers are answered and our God is glorified and we know the joyful sound of His victories in our life. Amen? It'll never occur. So you can sit in a Bible study and fill your head with knowledge, but you need to experience the presence and power and deliverance of the living God. Because coming out of the Bible study with a head full of knowledge won't make your tongue laugh and your heart sing. But His deliverance will. His deliverance does. Can you say amen every single time? Hallelujah. Woo! Will you stand to your feet today? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I found out that I was going to make a choice and that I had the choice to make and that God had already decided to bless me, keep me, and give me victory, and that I have to make that choice every time that I'm tempted to become depressed, despondent. I'm tempted to just look at me and my problems and pressures, my hurts, my pains, all the things that that befall us. You see, it is what it is. Somebody say with me, it is what it is. You do live in a fallen world. Say, it is what it is. Can't change the world. It is what it is. Can't change people's attitude for you. I wish everybody loved me. Everybody don't. But I'm consoled because everybody didn't love Jesus either, and he was perfect, and I'm not. It is what it is. The difference is, how are we going to react to it? Because we can't change the way it is down here in this fallen world. But God can change your attitude and my attitude. Amen. Count it. Mathematical term. Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work. You know what that means? Don't try to squirm out of it. Let God take you through it. Let him make you better and not bitter. Amen? 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 Hallelujah. And if you lack wisdom concerning the pressures and trials and you don't understand it, let him ask of God that gives this wisdom for this particular thing to all men. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Now here's some of us here today, and God wants to change that. This is the challenge. For he that wavereth, he's like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. The wind, the circumstances of life determines which way he's going to go. Not God, not the Spirit, not the Word, but the circumstances define him. And they toss him here, and they toss him there, and they toss him here, and they toss him there. And he said, in that tossed about state of unbelief and doubt, vacillating, he said, don't let that man, come on, expect to receive anything from God. He said, I will answer you when you quit messing around. I'll deliver you when you quit messing around. I'll help you when you quit playing church. All of this exposure to my word and never standing on it, never giving me credit for my integrity and my truth. Thou tossed about with tempest and not comforted. Shula bakosandarabasitiandarabaroshola. You see the tossing? You see it? The Gentiles didn't have a Christianized faith and a covenant to claim. So they were tossed with the tempest and not comforted. But he said, I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to bring them into my covenant family. And he ends up by saying to those people in that condition, even in the old covenant, he said, no weapon. Come on, at the last verse of that chapter says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Abraham believed God and it was put to his account righteousness. Amen. When we We have a standing with God that the devil has no authority, amen, to try to pick apart. And if we will stand in our standing, declare victory, give God glory, praise Him before we see anything change, hallelujah, something's got to change. Something's got to give, and it won't be God. Hallelujah. I wish I could put peace and joy in a huge hypodermic. Because I would go throughout the Sunday morning audience. I'm just going to use you guys for an example. This guy's stepping up for the shot. Hallelujah. Some of you don't. You know something? If I could give it to you, I'd give it to you. Amen. I would inject you with it. But I'm giving you something better. I'm giving you the word of the eternal God. If you ever take it to heart, it'll bring forth fruit. 30, 60, and 100 fold in your life. Faith will rise up and Satan will back off. Say it with me. Faith will rise up and the devil will back off. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Did I give you anything? What did I give you? I'm sorry? Yeah, that's it. That's it. I gave you the right thing. Glory be to God. Just check it. How many? If Jesus said, if you give it to me and trust me with it, I'll take the burden that you're carrying. I'll take it. Even if it's your own weakness, your own inability to cope, I'm here to deliver you. How many would trade your sorrow for His peace and love and joy? How many would make the trade with Him right here and right now? It's a choice. It's a choice you make by faith. I'm going to ask a second most important question before we rejoice, before we dismiss and rejoice and dismiss. Is there anyone here who do not know, like the man in the hospital? I'm not asking about your church affiliation, whether you were sprinkled or baptized or when it happened. I'm asking if you died today. If you died before you get home, do you know where you will spend eternity? Are you willing to stake your eternity on what you know right now? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? And if you don't, would you like to know Him? May I see your hand? I don't know Him. I can't say that, Pastor. I can't say it. Anyone in this room? All right. Second question. How many? Once again. He said, I will give you beauty for ashes, so it doesn't matter what the condition of your life and circumstance is at the moment. He said, I don't need a foundation to build this on. I don't need a wall standing or half a roof. I will give you beauty for ashes. And I will give you the oil of joy for mourning. And I will give you what everyone in this room needs at some time or another, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Can you say amen? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We got to shake that depression off today in the name of Jesus and get our faith back in Him. How many would trade your sorrows and your pain and your sickness for His help and His healing? If you're willing to do that by faith, God is ready to deliver you and to help you and sustain you in the name of Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. It's been a tough week for me. There is no radio broadcast because my computer fried. The one I have used for years and years gave up the ghost. And the broadcast, after I made it and got it in the mail, it's done. Amen. My van broke down. My battery went dead. We've had all kinds of things going wrong. Those are little things. Those are like, a skeeter biting you. But there's some big stuff in our life that comes down. But listen, and it's come down through the years. You can't stand up here and talk to people about God and not have the devil attack you constantly through all kinds of ways that I never dreamed before. But I'm here declaring today there's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. But I have to keep making that great exchange. Hallelujah. I'm trading my sorrows. Can we rejoice before we go? If you have to go, leave reverently. But the Lord is here to bless somebody today. Amen. We're going to keep praying for you. Amen. We're going to keep praying with you. Praise God. And I believe God is going to come and deliver you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.